So John 2, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers, and then he overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here! How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then someone demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will erase it again in 3 days." And then the man replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple Jesus had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord for us today. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Betty Lou. Let's pray. Holy One, we've heard your word, and now we ask that your word be spoken to our hearts. Amen. Can I tell you a secret? Kind of a secret. Every now and then when I'm driving in Calgary and someone cuts me off, I get really mad. And I have this fantasy. One of these days I'm going to dress up in my churchliness with a collar. And when somebody cuts me off in church, I'm going to give them a one-finger salute. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I didn't think you would be naive to that. It's a fantasy. It's not really, 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 really going to happen. But, you know, it's kind of fun to think about. Because, you know, if a minister does that, you have done a really bad thing for a fact. But that's, you know what, that's only going to make me feel better. Momentary satisfaction. But it had me thinking about getting angry. Is there anything wrong with anger? After all, anger is a natural emotion. But in the world of emotions, we always put it on the bad side of the fence, right? We got all the happy, positive ones. Joy, happiness, love, mostly love. And then on the other side, the negative ones like anger, rage. But it is natural. Recently, I read several articles that suggest that some anger can be healthy. While it's not advisable to say, you know, punch somebody out because they cut you off or got in front of you in the line at the grocery store, apparently anger can activate a deeper response that leads to more creativity and more ambition. Here's a study that was done in 2023 at Texas A&M University by Heather Lynch. She enlisted college students. I've been in those little studies. Anyway, they were shown slides that were designed to elicit certain emotions. So some of the slides were like nice, I suppose, peaceful pastoral scenes and, you know, puppies and fun things like that and designed to make you feel kind of aww. And then they showed some of the people slides of someone dissing the football team. If you know football in America, you don't diss your team. And so people got angry. And then when they were in whatever state they had tried to elicit anger or neutral or puppies or something like that, then they were given some work to do. They were given a series of word puzzles. They had some words they had to unscramble. And the idea, you unscramble a word, and then when it's unscrambled, you move to the next word, and then when it's unscrambled, you move to the next word. And you weren't allowed to go back when you thought of, aha, you know, you weren't allowed to go back. Those who were in an angry state of mind solved 39% more puzzles than everybody else. Oh. And not only that, they were actually more apt to stick to one until they got it. So they stick on one till they got it, and then they moved on and got 39% more. So they conclude that you were more likely to persist and achieve something if you have at least a little anger in there. On the other hand, too much anger is not a good thing. In 2022, an article appeared in the European Heart Journal, and they concluded that too much anger can contribute to cardiovascular disease and death, especially heart failure in men and people with diabetes. And then I read somewhere else that if a bout of rage could actually bring on a stroke. Oh, we talk about that in our house, Aaron. You're going to have a stroke. No, not joking. We're not joking. It can actually happen. And we also know, as people in community and with relationship and in workplaces, that if somebody is angry at somebody and it leads to kind of belittling and calling somebody down and being unkind, we've all seen somebody tear somebody apart in a workplace, right? That kind of thing is hard to undo, and that's not good for the relationship. The damage is hard to undo. So that's an example when anger can not be good. On the other side, how many hands have I got? This hand. On the other hand, another hand, I was reading this giant tome by Gabor Mate, and called The Myth of Normal. And he's quoting several studies that say that holding in anger is also bad for you. It can lead to a physical manifestation of illness or psychological, like depression, or he suggests ALS. I want to look at his studies, but still, he's saying holding in your anger is not good for you either. So I conclude from all of this that it seems that there can be a healthy amount of anger as long as that anger is healthy, if you know what I mean. In the scripture that we just heard, really sounds like Jesus was angry. I can just imagine how it must have been for his close followers. I mean, they were used to him ticking off other people. You know, he said things that made the Pharisees angry, that made the other religious authorities angry. He said things that made rich people angry, and anyone who colluded with the oppressive Roman regime made them angry. But this time something was happening that upset him. Well, what was happening there? Jesus goes into the temple and he sees people there selling animals that can be used for sacrifice in the temple. Now, if you kind of look back, or you think back to sermons in the, you know, a long time ago, the story has often been interpreted to mean that the commerce that was going on in the temple was somehow rendering the temple unclean. It was saying that this commerce is lending to the unholiness of the temple. In that case, you're kind of putting small business people as the bad guys. I don't think that's what it was going on. I don't think it was. Because actually it was perfectly legal and acceptable for people to sell these things in the temple. Like for instance, let's say that you're going to decide to make a big trip to go to the temple. I mean, it was an obligation that not a lot of people could do. And let's say you live far away, like in Galilee. Are you going to pack up a whole bunch of animals to take with you on the trip to sacrifice when you get there? Well, some could, but others found that you could just say, I don't need to bring a dove, I'll just buy one there. So it was actually convenient to buy animal to sacrifice at the temple. What was actually the case going on there is that you've got these people that are selling things, but they're not really the ones in charge. The Mr. Big in the operation is the temple authorities. And they are in cahoots with Rome. So let's just say one day the temple authorities say, hey, you know, those doves are moving pretty well. Jack up the price. I bet you'll get it. What is happening here is an elite class has their hand, the control of the common person. The business was corrupt, and it preyed on people's need to observe their own religious practices and rituals, particularly the poor. It would block people from being able to practice their faith, for continuing this obligation. It would block people from their own religious rituals. Domination of a people by an elite class. This is what made Jesus angry. It would affect your faith, your place in society, and your self-worth. And someone else had a grip on that. Perhaps that would have made some people sad. Oh, isn't that sad? Some people can't buy a dove. Isn't it sad somebody else, all the bucks lead to Rome? The human rights activist in the American Civil Rights Movement, Malcolm X, said this. Usually when people are sad, they don't do anything. They just cry over their condition. But when they get angry, they bring about change. This week, I think last week I mentioned the blogger Jeff Chu. Today I found something from him too, or yesterday. He differentiates fury from rage. Let me read it to you. Rage is decidedly more popular these days. But so often, rage just flails. While I think of rage as anger with an uncontrolled, violent edge, fury is anger that has direction. What causes fury to rise in you these days? When a government policy affects the marginalized? When innocent children continue to die in Gaza? When moms the world over still have to put their babies to bed with nothing in their bellies? When the effects of the Indian residential school system can show up as poverty and addictions? When you hear about another Indigenous woman who is murdered or missing? Does holy fury rise in you when food prices make healthy eating impossible for some? As tempting as it is to put on your collar and give someone the finger, or get on social media and madly pen a rant, or flood social media with angry emojis, you know that angry face? Bip, 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 I'm so mad. What good is that? It just makes yourself feel better for a few minutes. Is our anger for our own benefit, or is it doing any good for those with whom we stand in solidarity? Holy fury turns the tables on destructive anger, and it sees injustice, and it makes a move to bring about change. I'm thinking of people in human history, in our modern history, who turned their anger into holy fury. You know them, Desmond Tutu, Nelson Mandela, Viola Desmond, Martin Luther King Jr., Canadian Indigenous activist Autumn Pelche, who talks about water and clean water for Indigenous communities. The Honorable Murray Sinclair. Greta Thunberg. Maybe you. All these people who could be just sad about stuff. Maybe they're even just mad about stuff, but they turned it into holy fury. Jesus did that. He turned the tables on the temple authorities, literally turning tables over, ripping their control over people and their faith practices, and taking that control and putting it back in the hands of the people. That's what that was about. So waving my whatever finger I decide to wave when I'm way in my collar and making somebody go, crazy lady from the church, is not going to be helpful. But perhaps if I were to wear my collar at a pride parade or at the missing and murdered Indigenous women a rally, that's maybe turning anger into holy fury. I'll bet you in your lives and your experience can think of times and places of things that make you mad and sad. And sometimes it is God's work to turn that into holy fury and make a change. There's a sign out there that says just that. Take a look. I would like us to take a few moments and ponder when and where that is.